The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, Baton Rouge, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Kelly, we forgot our pro tip of the hour last hour, or at least I did.
Yeah, we didn't forget. I just talked too much about the Fortinet Championship.
You love yourself some Fortinet Championship. Our pro tip of the hour, by the way, had to do with tennis once again. And it's just a sort of a reminder for next year's U.S. Tennis Open. When betting futures for the U.S. Open, think about players who did really well during the hard court season during the spring, like Iga and like Carlitos did this past year, but don't look as good necessarily during the grass season. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, maybe they're not playing as well. No, they might be just punting on grass season for emphasis and taking a run at the U.S. Open Slam. That's your pro tip of the hour right here on VSiN. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Still to come this hour, Josh Towers, also Pete Futak on college football. And ladies and gentlemen, always thrilled to have this guy on. Second week in a row. It's happening every single Wednesday right here. It's our own Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, Gil. Thrilled to be with you guys again.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And let me just, I think I did this last week too, but we have a tweet specifically tailored to you. This is from Michael Lafon. He says, Gil, last week you read my tweet to ask Mike Pritchard to analyze wide receiver prop bets, and he was spot on, saying Derek Carr continually looks for Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. It was an early win, or an easy win rather. Mike should handicap receiver totals every week. He has insight having played. So shout out to you, Mr. Pritchard, on that from Mike Lafon.
Hey, I'll take it. You know, it's fascinating, Gil, because what we talked about last week was the fact that wide receiver position is a franchise position now. And just look at the go-to guys for the team. Look at all the speed in the league, too. Just pulling back the curtain, I know evaluators, scouts, they're looking for the Tariq Woolens, you know, the guys who are former wide receivers that they can convert to corners because they need more speed on the defensive side of the ball. So there's a clear advantage to wide receivers and offenses that are prolific. And the league knows that, and defenses are trying to play catch-up right now.
I mean, the obvious one, obviously, is the Packers. No Devontae Adams in terms of just what, you know, wide receiver headlines from this past week. And we said on this show, I'm sure others have said on the network, it's like you can't expect the Packers not to be impacted by the absence of Devontae Adams on the other side. It's one thing to go to a team if you help try to improve one team, but to leave might even have more impact. Do you believe that this is going to sort of haunt, I'll use that word, haunt the Packers all year long?
Maybe not all year long, because I know the Packers are trying to create a sense of urgency out there. Back-to-back divisional games, we saw and heard the words from Aaron Rodgers in terms of the young pups. I call them pups, you know, and they got to catch up to the standard and expectations. The expectations for Green Bay is not just the playoffs, it's the Super Bowl. And I think Green Bay is going to be tinkering. I knew that going into the year. I think they'll run the ball a little bit more, maybe take some pressure off of those wide receivers. But for Aaron Rodgers to be effective, for Aaron Rodgers to help this team get deep into the playoffs in hopes of the Super Bowl, those guys are going to have to catch up. And I think they will. You know, week one to week two, there's such a large leap, Gil. And I expect the Green Bay Packers and those wide receivers, now that they got a taste of NFL action, to kind of settle in and let their natural talent take hold and help that football team.
Last thing before we get to your thoughts on week two, because I want to give you your props on this as well. I asked you some form last week of what team are you down on that others aren't, or what quarterback are you down on that maybe conventional wisdom isn't down on? And you, without hesitation, you're like, oh, Kyler Murray, for goodness sake. And Arizona just got trucked by the Chiefs in week one. They're 6 points. So you were all over that at least one week through. But they're 6-point dogs now. 6-point dogs this week against the Raiders. And I'm just like, that's too many points, isn't it?
I think so. The Raiders, they have offensive line issues. And I didn't see the Raiders really get to Justin Herbert that well, even though they have two all-pro bookends on the defense, Chandler Jones and Max Crosby. But, you know, the Chargers are a different animal. You know, I think Kyler Murray in Arizona and what's going on with that organization internally, it's just they're just not off to a great start. And I don't know how you fix it within 1 week, fix all of it within 1 week. But, you know, that's just a lot of points right now at the beginning of the year for the Raiders, who have a lot of questions themselves. They don't have a starting offensive line unit. You know, they're rotating about seven guys up front. They haven't really established a running game either. So, you know, if it's a passing affair, you know, I give Arizona a fighter's chance. As long as they can protect Kyle Murray, and you know, you look at that number. I mean, I see a six out there. There's certainly five and a half across the board right now. But it depends on where the market settles out, though. I mean, I would look at the points for sure early on in the week.
Yeah, a lot of six reduced juice and five and a halfs out there right now. What do you like best as you scan the week two slate of National Football League games, again, with a doubleheader on Monday, this public service announcement. Once again, doubleheader this coming Monday. What were the games that stuck out to you? Like, what intuitively you see the lines and you're like, oh, that's not right?
Well, I like Detroit, believe it or not.
So do I. That was one of mine.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm seeing a 1.5, which is crazy to me. But, you know, you think about opening line, and it certainly climbed. It got to 2.5 to some places, and I see twos. But there you go, right back to 1.5. So I don't know if it's wrong necessarily, but I just like Detroit at home. And I like the fact, and, you know, it's not a whole fight mantra that they have. I mean, they're a competitive team. And so I think they're that close to putting it all together. At least that's the feeling inside the building. So a good week of practice, that's what I'm looking for, Gil. I'm looking for some insiders with some information in terms of how the week of preparation is going. Because I think the matchup against Washington on paper favors Detroit, and I believe the energy at home could help Detroit in this football game.
I want to ask you another one that sort of sticks out to you. But before that, I want to ask you specifically about the Seahawks and the Niners. Niners are, you know, somewhere in the 8.5, 9-point pocket favorite against here, against the Seahawks. Geno Smith and the Seahawks coming off a short week now, where I was talking about yesterday that, you know, around the time that you played in the pros, Mike, I was saying how in those days, quarterbacks got to hold the clipboard for 3 years, right? And so this is the thing about the NFL. There are guys who we think of as having bad careers. There are guys who we think of having good careers that I can't prove this, but I believe were created by how they were thrown into the mix early on in their career, right? So if Mark Rippon doesn't hold a clipboard for 3 years, if Stan Humphries doesn't hold for 3 years, if Trent Green, those are the three I brought up yesterday. So Geno Smith, I don't believe should be that surprising to people that he's a credible quarterback after playing, you know, with Hall of Famers for 7 years. And then there's Trey Lance right on the other side, who is, yes, he got to sit for 1 year, but essentially now is being thrown in because, you know, again, he played at North Dakota State to begin with. Obviously Carson Wentz did too, so that you can't make a blanket statement about that, but it certainly wasn't a Power Five program. And now he's being thrown in. Where do you stand on this game, 9.5 in favor of the Niners?
Gil, it's a great point. I mean, I think years ago, the Mark Rippon years and everything like that, the learning curve was so steep. Like, you had college offenses and then you had the pro offenses. Now you have college offenses and the National Football League. So a lot of quarterbacks, they're coming into the league and they don't have that steep learning curve. It's flattened. And that's Trey Lance. I mean, I think what Trey Lance did in college, Kyle Shanahan's trying to do. And so if you look at how Seattle was vulnerable against the run against Denver on a short week, and San Francisco's at home and they're going to display the entire playbook, no weather to worry about here. That could get difficult for Seattle. Very vanilla defense in terms of the passing game, too. So I think the running game is going to be a challenge for Seattle, therefore featuring Trey Lance. Now, on the other side, you're right about Geno. Geno, you know, a long time ago since he was a starter in this league, and so certainly he's going to sit behind Russell. But I think he's limited, even though he's serviceable. Like, you put DK Metcalf in front of him and Lockett and some other guys out there, Disley, I mean, he's gonna flourish at times, but Denver shut them down in the second half, and some habits for Geno in the pocket. And Troy Aikman was spot on with this, just standing and not helping out his offensive line. Maybe the week of preparation, a short week, can help him and give him a chance to understand stepping up in a pocket. It was really going to help that offensive line, but I don't know if that's going to sink in. And so you got Bosa on the other side, who I believe is better than Chubb, and they got a rookie left tackle. So the matchups don't favor Seattle in a short week, and they're still celebrating that victory. It's a big number, though. It's a big number. I mean, maybe you look at some teaser situations on the side of San Francisco if you want. But I wouldn't lay it. I mean, it's a divisional game, so keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of points. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by any outcome here, quite frankly. The 49ers blew them off the field. I don't think I'd be surprised if the Seahawks kept it close. I wouldn't be all that surprised. We only have about a minute left here. Is there another game on the Week 2 slate where you're like, okay, that number does not seem right to me?
Yeah, I'm investigating Pittsburgh and New England. You know, Pittsburgh's a home dog, I believe.
They are,
you know,
yes.
Yep, they are. And, you know, I know TJ Watt's gone and a low total, too. Now, New England's going to have to run the ball, and they're going to have to stick with the run. But if that's the case, then that's a tight game, right, in my opinion. And so Pittsburgh getting points at home, depending on where the line is. I mean, it's 1.5 now. I don't know where it's going to close yet, obviously. But Pittsburgh's such a public team, too, so I'm keeping an eye on that. But New England, both teams are going to have to try to run the ball. I don't know if Pittsburgh is going to be that great with the run. I think they're going to have to try to be more explosive against that vulnerable secondary for New England. So big injury, though, with TJ. But I'm investigating that game right now, Gil, during the week.
Yeah, I had Pittsburgh favored by 1.5 for what that's worth on guessing line. So I'm kind of with you as well. Mike, always a pleasure, at M.I. Pritchard. On the Twitter machine. Was M. Pritchard taken? Is that why you went M.I. Pritchard?
You know what? I tried Mike Pritchard. I should have did Mike Pritchard NFL, but you know, I don't have that kind of an ego, Gil. So yeah, I just went M.I., man. Yeah, a lot of Pritchards out there, apparently.
Mike, always a pleasure. We'll talk next week.
Pleasure is mine, Gil. Great. Have a great week, guys.
Mike Pritchard, we're all better for having him here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll come back. Some college football with Pete Futak. Wow, was that a weekend.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 video season prep that includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long, pro tools, Kelly, like our exclusive betting splits. No, you didn't do it.
Splitting bets!
And pro tips, updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175 or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just wanted to read this one because I wanted to make a point on this, Kelly, and bring you in here as well. This is from, we were talking about teasers before. This is from John Blum.
Oh, I was so hoping this was going to be about chess, but okay.
Yeah, no. There's plenty of chess ones. There's plenty of chess ones. Why is no one teasing the Seahawks up? I'm a Niners fan, and I don't see any way their offense gets more than 2 touchdowns. Now, the Niners are already, as we talked about, 9.5 point favorites. So teasing the Seahawks would go from 9.5 to 15.5, right? Go through the 10 and the 14. Key-ish. And I just want to make the point that on this show, what we've tried to be, and we tried to do this on Primetime Action as well, we try not to be so dogmatic, right, where we're like, if it's not a Stanford Wong teaser, you're the worst person on earth. So here, there's actually a point to be made here. The total is 42.5.
Yes.
So teasing the Seahawks in that respect to 15.5 is actually... I get it. Like, I think that's actually a pretty interesting bet.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it at all. You and I were discussing this off air. I made a similar one last week. As soon as I woke up Sunday and saw what that weather looked like in Chicago, I didn't feel comfortable taking the Bears at plus 6.5 or 7. But I was like, whatever. I'll take them on a teaser up to 13. There was a teaser leg I loved last week, the Minnesota Vikings. So I just threw in another one with them. And look, when you're talking about totals that are that low, you have to factor that in. And if you're getting that many points with a total that low, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't.
I don't either. Just wanted to shout him out for that, because I think, again, it deserves to, because we talk about, oh, hey, look, Wong and everything else. Well, okay. Everything has its own calculus to make it. So with a total that low, I get it. And we just wanted to point that out. Let's talk some college football. Not only was the NFL just unbelievable this weekend, but college football, my goodness. I even said it earlier in the week where I'm like, does anybody know anything in college football? And I'm not picking on any one person. I'm just saying the sport is so absolutely out of control, that that to wrap your head around it, or certainly in an off season, seems like a crazy thing. Ben Fox, our own Ben Fox, had a great tweet. He had a couple great ones this weekend, but one of them was he had to do with the number 1 through 8 seeded teams, not seeded, but ranked teams in the country. None of them covered the spread. And of course, in the case of Texas A&M losing outright as 18-point favorites against Appalachian State, in the case of Notre Dame as 20.5-point favorites, losing outright in their ball game as well. And then there was Alabama, who probably should have lost as huge 21.5-point favorites. What a weekend. We bring in Pete Futak from College Football News. What do you make of all of that, man?
You thought the NFL was good? It was fun and entertaining because it's the NFL, but man, those early games, especially compared to the, I love it. I want awesome games. I thought those kind of struggled until the very end. Then the overtimes were great and everything, but you're right. I've never seen anything like week two of that college football season. What was the stat we've had? There were like 3 17-plus-point favorites that either didn't cover or lost or something. There's never ranked in the top 10 or some crazy stat, but like we've never seen anything like this before.
What do you make of Alabama? Because a lot of people were saying, oh, Nick Saban knows it's his best team ever. And, you know, we remember some particularly like great Alabama defenses, like the Jonathan Allen defense. I'm like, really? Greatest team ever? They get so much help in this game. Obviously, the big one was the non-safety call.
That was actually right. There was other ones. That was actually technically, as bizarre as that was, that one was actually technically correct. However, I don't know
that it was, because it's like, okay, that wasn't they had to choose something there. Like, and it, I don't know that it was technically right. I'm not 100%.
He wasn't down, and he wasn't,
an intentional grounding. Like, I mean,
they couldn't review that. They missed that.
So they missed it, is my point. That's, no,
But review, they got it technically right compared to what they could. It was bizarre, though. You're right, though.
They got lucky.
To your point,
yeah,
there were 15 penalties. There should have been like 25.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Joel Klatt used my line. I mean, you can't call everything, but they were grabbing on every single downfield pass play. They should have been hit for a whole lot more penalties than that.
They had 15 penalties by the end of the third quarter and then none after that. And of course, the big thing also is that Texas lost their starting quarterback, Quinn Ewers, who was phenomenal. Yep. He was phenomenal up to the point that he had to leave the game. And then Hudson Card was, had a hitch in his giddy up when he was playing, right? He was limping. So I just say to you, are we sure Alabama's at the top of college football?
You mentioned the same thing that I've heard from so many different people. I was literally just in Alabama yesterday with it, and just everyone had the same thought before, like, oh, this is Nick Saban's best team. Yeah, it's like, I'm with you. No, I don't think this is. It got kind of conveniently blown off all off season that, okay, where's your Jerry Jeudy? Where's your next Devontae Smith? Where's your next Amari Cooper? Where is this next wide receiver who's about to pop up like Jameson Williams and John Metchie did? And everyone's like, oh, it's Alabama. We got transfers coming in. Everything's going to be fine. As it turns out, their wide receivers didn't even get on the plane for that game. That was a problem. They fixed the offensive line. Bryce Young's Bryce Young. The running game is fine. But you're right. That looked like a team that was very glitchy. With that said, if you remember last year at this exact time, they were a bad 2-point conversion play call by Dan Mullen and staff away from having to go to overtime with Florida. They lose to Texas A&M. They've lost before under Nick Saban against teams like Ole Miss and A&M early in the season. And then they kind of tweak and fix the glitch and everything goes on. Let's see what they do against Louisiana Monroe this week, because that should be a true practice scrimmage. They need to tune everything up.
All right, what do you like? What do you like this week in college football? And by the way, Pete, let me just apologize to you because I owe you a bunch of texts with picks. I'm really slacking.
You're busy. You're the hardest working man in the business. I'm just happy Gil Alexander answers my texts.
Oh, stop it! BYU, Oregon, Penn State, Auburn. I don't know which way you want to go. Maybe somewhere else.
I kind of like, again, this is not a marquee week of games. I mean, there just aren't everyone's kind of gearing up for the big conference stuff happening before. So a little bit of a down week, which always means something funky's going to happen. And you're right, as you kind of teased coming in, if Marshall can show up and take down Notre Dame, if Appalachian State can take down Texas A&M, what are we in for this week? Because what we are seeing is just better quarterback play across the board because of the transfer portal. So a lot more even games. You mentioned Penn State Auburn. That I want to see what Penn State does, because they kind of sputtered a little bit to start against Purdue, and then they rolled Ohio, who destroyed Florida Atlantic the week before. But Penn State looked the part. Auburn's been struggling to start the season and weren't great against San Jose State. I want to see Penn State go on the road and win this thing, because I think they're a little better than we think they are. I like them in that. And overall, I'm not going to say Toledo's going to beat Ohio State. It's not going to happen. But the 30, it was 32 for a while. Now I think it's 31-ish. That's a lot of points to be given away to a team that's probably going to win the MAC, that has enough talent to hang in there. And if you remember, last year's team, I know it's last year and it's the past, but this is a veteran team that did this last year, almost had Notre Dame beaten in South Bend. Toledo's traditionally been pretty decent in non-conference games. They lose. They lose by a few touchdowns, and I don't think Ohio State sweats it. But that 32-ish is a lot of points there for an Ohio State team that's still trying to find its way offensively.
Let me just ask this, because it leaps to mind. Scott Frost obviously finally fired at Nebraska. It just didn't work out. That's the understatement of them all. Boy, did it not work out. They didn't even wait for the buyout to go down to $7.5 million on October 1st. They're like, it's $15 million, get him out of here. Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame, I'm not trying to suggest it's the same thing. But if they're 10.5-point favorites against Cal, just walk with me on this. If they lose this game and go 0-3, what are we talking about here with Notre Dame? Like, how long is that going to last?
He's the first head coach in Notre Dame history to lose his first three games, and it wasn't just losing him. It's how. The collapse in the bowl game against Oklahoma State. They looked fine against that was a fine loss against Ohio State on the road. Everyone's like, okay, they were competitive, they were in there.
Right, defense is good. Yeah,
and you can't lose to Marshall at home, but Marshall's got a defense. I mean, they've got guys at running back, and that was a pretty good. But like, they're not going to fire him. They're not going to get rid of him. But it just shows that they just need a whole lot more help on the offensive side. I think they're going to beat Cal pretty easily this week, because Cal hasn't shown much yet. But to your point, if they lose to Cal, a whole lot of discussions happening.
All right, we got to run. But let me just ask you this. What's the team that has surprised you the most nationally? Like, what's the team where you look across the landscape and you're like, oh, they could really actually be a thing?
I'm not going to say surprise me, because I kind of thought this was going to happen, but they're every bit as good. Forget the defensive line. USC, if you look at their schedule, you look at what's coming up next. Notre Dame is very beatable. They got to deal with some other tough games. They got to go to Utah. But I think USC, they're not going to win the national championship, but I'm going to stick with my call that they're going to make the college football playoff.
If I could have laid -500 on that, I would have. I knew that was going to be your answer. Thank you, Peter. Great talking to you, as always. I owe you a text. At Pete Futak, FIUTAK, on Twitter. College Football News, where he plies his trade. collegefootballnews.com. Josh Towers in studio. Baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. Right here, it's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, in studio, I love just people just rolling in studio. We love it. Our own Josh Towers, who hangs out at the South Point from time to time for various reasons.
Just to see you boys.
Just to
and
see
girls.
Us.
Yeah,
just
that's it.
To
no
see
other
us.
Reason.
So I have so much to ask you about.
Oh, they finally told me the lock code to get in, so I just hang out here when no one's here. Yeah,
it's a very high-tech security system.
Actually, that's a terrifying thought. If Towers knows that, yeah. Oh, man.
What's Josh doing in the studio?
He's sitting there by himself with the lights off.
A very high-tech security system we have. I have a lot to ask you. But first, football, which I know you weren't expecting. Are you in contest? Are you betting football? How much football do you bet?
Yeah, obviously, anything fantasy I do. Contest I didn't jump into this year. Yeah. I have done it plenty of times in the past. I bet football. I don't overly jump into football bets early. Like, baseball's still going on. I still think there's a lot of value in plays. I'm a huge UFC bettor as well. And I feel like the books do a really good job with NFL. So I wait to, like, I try to pick my spots with the NFL and college. I don't like, just abandon everything else and jump into it. I think early it's very difficult.
Because you were commenting when I was talking about the Seahawks and the Niners, you're like, you are not
buying
the Seahawks.
Well, I took the over in the first half of the Seahawks-Bronco game, and so I watched the entire game at dinner, and I just think there's a massive overreaction to that team. And again, I always think week one of the basketball tournament, I think week one of the NFL, college football, we're all even. Like, we're so excited to just be there and come out the tunnel for the first time and the excitement of all of it. That I'm not thinking about anything negative. We're good, we're bad, indifferent. I had a bad game. And I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just so happy to be here that we're all equal at some point. And then it starts to slowly set itself in, and reality becomes reality in a couple weeks, right? So I think there's a massive overreaction. Like, everybody's on Aaron Rodgers. I feel like Aaron Rodgers, every week one that he plays, he puts up a dud, and then he puts up four touchdowns the next week.
For those who don't know, Josh Towers, not only VSiN's own Josh Towers, but former major league pitcher with the Jays, Yankees, and Orioles, who gave up Barry Bonds' 747th career ding dong? I should point out, and I just want to mention this. Oh, by the way, we have a Josh Towers graphic.
Except I need to add that to the list. My favorite one's the bottom.
God, that's what I used to shave.
First pitcher in Blue Jays history to have a single digit uniform number. How did that conversation go? Where you're like, I want a single digit.
No, I got called up at Yankee Stadium, and it's all they had in the trunk. And he said, he goes, you can change it when you get back to Toronto. And I said,
nope.
Well, I mean, some pretty famous guy in New York wore number 70. Mind if I just keep it? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. I had no idea that pitchers didn't wear single digits.
Can we do 90 seconds of sports talk radio for a second?
Man.
My friend Mark Borchard was on with us yesterday.
I like Mark.
I love Mark. Mark and I go way back.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark said something yesterday, and I got to admit, I was like, yeah, you got to be kidding me. So he says, Aaron Judge now is, now he's four away from this, he used the phrase, hallowed record of 61 home runs. And I said to him, like, I go, except it's not the record. You know, I'm sorry, did that ball not go off that bat over that fence 73 times with Barry Bonds? So this, like, can we stop saying that this is the record? It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, let's cross them all out, right? David Ortiz just went in the Hall of Fame, and he took steroids knowingly.
Thank you.
Saw that, right? There's a lot of things, and accuse whatever you want to accuse of, but I could tell you off air, like, if I have a lot of coaches that played back in the day that tell me stories. And if you think that everybody was clean pre-2002, you're out of your mind. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything that I didn't actually see. But to act like Barry Bonds isn't the greatest player and the home run champion, you're just an idiot. It's simple. He's the greatest player of all time.
Well, there's that.
He's also head of that list for most home runs and stolen bases, like over the 300 to 500 club. He's on all those lists.
Hall of Famer before he ever took anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but
I like what Judge is doing. It's a phenomenal season.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
310.
He's single-handedly dragging them to the division championship.
And he turned down a $220 million contract to go, I'll prove this to you. That's my favorite thing about it, right? And the guy has handled everything well. His stats are amazing. The Yankees would be in trouble without him, let's be honest. But And that's what it is.
And your instinct is, despite your own personal feelings, that he will be the MVP.
I still think Shohei Ohtani is, but I think the voters will give it to Aaron just because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, over 61.5 now, minus 475. This was a virtual coin flip yesterday.
That escalated quickly.
That really escalated quickly.
What is he? He's got to go five home runs in, what, 20 days?
Well, yeah, yesterday it was 7-21 games. Now it's 5-20. So this was like a coin flip yesterday. And two smackaroos, and look at what it is now. Yeah.
Still tempting on the under, huh?
And again, with the Yankees, they have the reason that the Jays and the Rays were still behind the eight balls, they had these nine games against each other. And it's worked out perfectly for the Yankees so far, just alternating wins. So they can't gain any ground on the Yankees. So I think the Yankees will get home.
And then what happens if the Yankees happen to clinch with 10, let's say 10 games to go or something like that? What happens then? Does Zissi sit?
Not if the record's not if the American League record and Yankees record is in sight.
Yeah, we can go with the Yankees record or Roger Maris's or whatever, but like, right, they're not going to play him just to play him and risk injury. They're worried about winning a pennant. I promise you, none of these records mean anything to Cashman, Booney, and him. The playoffs mean everything.
And Aaron Judge himself says 73 is the record.
Right, so he don't care.
So if I said this also yesterday. I said, just for giggles, if Aaron Judge ends up with 59, I'm just making it as ridiculous as possible that he has a 5 in front of the number, right? That is not a 6. If he ends up with 59 and Shohei somehow hits 6 and ends up with 40 homers and 200 strikeouts, they're still giving it to Judge. Really? I mean, come on, how ridiculous.
Again,
but I guess they are.
I'm not biased. Shohei Ohtani is the MVP.
Sure,
it's just what he's doing is it's always he's the walkaway MVP. And if you don't like it, then somebody else do something better or more. This is not enough for me.
Judge is not enough. For
not
you.
Enough for me. No.
Not enough for
no.
Well, I want to circle back to this Judge number real quick because I'm looking up. That's the one over at DraftKings right now. Gil.
These vary, do they?
William Hill did not have it posted this morning when I checked there. It is up now. 62-plus home runs is how they're framing it at William Hill. Essentially the same.
62-plus.
Yes, minus 320. The no plus 260. Is that number very different than what you're seeing over at DraftKings?
Sure is.
And
so 62 is an under.
Yeah, the points you guys are making, I think that under 61.5 at plus 340, it might be some value.
Do you really believe that if he got to 59 with 10 games left and they clinched the division that he wouldn't play as much anymore?
He's not going to play as much.
But
they're going to back off some games. They're going to give these guys some rest, especially him some rest. He'll get like the Yankees always do this, right? They'll watch every last series of the year from when they had all their winning teams. And it's like the two games, like Friday, Saturday, they won't play. And then Sunday, they'll get some reps in to be ready for the playoffs.
So
like at least that last series, he's going to miss probably two of those games if they have already clinched.
You imagine if he ends up on 59 because of that?
It happened all the time. Yeah, that's how they do it. It's always.
Yeah, but you don't think for that, for the Yankees all-time record, for the American League all-time record, they wouldn't – wow.
And that's the one – I know everybody brings up Yankees for the Yankees record for obvious reasons, right? But it's the – look, we can talk about Bonds and all those guys, Bonds and Sosa, McGuire, all those guys in the NL, right? But that AL side of it is pretty huge. Like, the fact that you could capture the AL record is incredible to me.
It's just because it stood for so long. It was Babe Ruth, and then Roger took it over in 61, I believe, was it the year? 61 or 61, yes. Was that it?
Did you ever see the Billy Crystal thing, 61 with the asterisk?
Yeah. And so it stood for so long.
Because it was 162 games, Babe did it 154.
Or 100, was it? Yeah, because they died. Yeah. It was 140, 154, 140. It's like the games, like we have more games nowadays as well, right? Exactly. So then Rogers took it, and it stood till Barry did it in whatever year Barry did it in the 2000s. And so that's why I think like it was always ingrained in us. Until Barry also broke Babe Ruth. So a lot of people don't want to acknowledge Barry Bonds. It's not because he didn't hit that many home runs. It's just it stood for almost 100 years or whatever it stood for, right? Like, and so tradition and history and growing up and youth and my grandpa and my father and me, it was always somebody else. And then all of a sudden one day some guy recently took it over, and it's hard to, like, go back on. There's Babe Ruth candy bars, right? Like, there's things that just ingrained in us about the history of the game. I think that's all it is with Roger Maris. I mean, it's great, but I don't think that – he's not going to cry if he doesn't hit 61.
A little bit more of a sports talk here, because the reason that I love baseball, and I think the reason that most people love baseball, is because of what you just said, the tradition, right?
Right.
The tradition of the game. Are you as put off by these rule changes as I am going into next year?
It's another reason we can't compare stats, by the way, and home runs and generational stuff. Like, we change the rules every day. Every year, midseason, we change rules. We have two more rule changes coming next year that players are making fun of on the field in TikTok videos, like with the bases and joking around, Rich Hill. And it's just like...
bases getting bigger. Banning the shift, to me, is what it says about baseball. It's like, you couldn't strategize your way around it, so now we're going to have to change the rules.
But we do that in life every day, Gil, where we have the clock. We do this in life every day.
But for baseball, doesn't it bother you, though?
But we're just taking life and putting it into sports, right? We cry about everything. We want everything faster. We want everything now. We're in a hurry all the time. And so... we got players crying that I'm not willing to go the other way, so I think it's messed up because I want to pull the ball and hit home runs because you guys, whatever. And so I'm not willing to make an adjustment. So you make the adjustment for me and make it easier for me. So, again, hitting one – we have five guys in lineups hitting over or under 200. It's okay now. It's okay to hit. Can you imagine hitting 190 and even showing your face in public?
We used to make fun of Dave Kingman when he hit 37 or 40 home runs. Right, anybody they had strikeouts. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, God.
And now it's cool.
Now it would be, are you kidding me? He's perfect.
Kyle Schwarber got $70 million. Just throwing that out there.
What's that say again?
Kyle Schwarber got $70 million to hit .190 and 37 home runs.
That thing about never just bunting the other way on a shift. I think I've screamed that more at a baseball TV screen than any other phrase
or just
over
stay inside
last,
the ball.
Yeah. it's just
like the quarterback sneak.
The closer we are to the ball, the easier it is the other way as well. So I don't know.
We're going to look at ALCS and NLCS exactas with Josh on the other side. Get his overall thoughts on baseball. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN. VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. And Josh Towers, VSiN's own Josh Towers, former major leaguer, kind enough to join us in studio here at the South Point. Whole bunch to get to. Last thing about the pitching change, because I want to get some betting odds with you.
Yep.
The pitch clock. I have argued that this might have the most betting implication of everything, particularly with relievers, because the Aroldis Chapmans of the world won't be able to, just like, let's say in his heyday, right? He won't be able to throw his 100-mile-per-hour fastball and then circle the mound five times for as long as he wants before he throws his next pitch.
Yeah.
And so I think there are like there might be an early in-game or even pre-flop opportunity for baseball bettors next year where they're not aware that it's going to be more of a more run heavier environment.
Less runs.
You think less runs?
Way less runs.
Really?
Way less runs. That's what I'm saying. It's actually going to benefit guys like him. So back when I came up with the Orioles, we had this thing called the 12-second rule. We didn't know what it was. We were just told if we threw a quality pitch and got a good result that he wanted us back on the mound to throw the same pitch within 12 seconds. So they taught us to work fast, and we had no idea why. We tried to explain it to us, but we're kids. We didn't pay any attention. As my career went on, I understood this. And so I've always watched. You watch baseball today. The guys who take their time, 20, 30, 40 seconds in between pitches, it gives hitters time to reset, to process, to think about, to visualize. They always get rocked. Guys, Burley and these guys who work fast, they always have more success because I'm just rushing the hitter in a box. And my tendency as a hitter, I'm trying to go fast with this answer, is to swing, not to take, right? So when you feel rushed, you react. So that's why we sometimes wait for a hitter, to guys that take their hand off to call time. I'll wait till I see his hand move and then I'll throw a pitch because he's going to swing no matter what. I don't throw a strike. The faster I work, the more they force these guys in a box, the more they're going to react and swing at pitches that they're going to be mad about. The offense is going to go down 100%.
Do you think what you just said is a widely held belief?
I don't think these guys are smart enough to think about this.
That's what I mean. Do you think that they're smart enough
to think about it? That's why I laugh at a lot of these rules, because they put in one rule that helps offense, and then they put in two that counters it. And I'm like, you guys don't even realize what you're doing. Look at the minor leagues. We're already doing it in the minor leagues.
All right, let me ask you. I also said this yesterday. I said, listen, with awards,
yeah,
the phrase I use is we're really close to the sun because we're looking at these betting markets month after month after month. And so in our betting minds, it starts to blur with reality where we think, oh, well, if the betting market is this, then this must be how voters are going to vote. But I said, I am pretty convinced, and I don't know which market it is, but I am pretty convinced one of these baseball markets is going to be a real shocker to those who look at betting markets all year. AL Cy Young. Framber Valdez has thrown 24 consecutive quality starts. 24. We were just diving even deeper into his fan graphs. Three complete games, right? And he's got four or five more starts to go. Let's say four more starts with 20 games left. He's 80-1. Come on.
Yeah, he's first innings pitched. I think he's seventh in strikeouts. He's second in wins. His ERA is near the top as well. He's fifth in ERA. He's got three starts left, and he's done nothing but throw complete games, or sorry, quality starts, which is also something we factor in. It's a legit stat. He should be like 8-1, not 60-71. Like, I think it's a phenomenal play if you can get it at 60 or 80-1, what we're seeing on the graphics right now.
Well, you can at BetMGM. Yeah.
With the amount of starts he has left. And they're not starters. We're not missing starts coming in. We're staying on routine to get ready for the postseason, where batters will take a little bit of time off. It's different for us. That's an unbelievable number right there.
This is a tweet.
Shohei's got a higher or lower than him, and Shohei can't win the Cy Young.
Shohei can't win the Cy.
No.
This is Jeff Dupuy. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He said, back to your Judge comments about perhaps sitting him. He said, will the Yankees be less likely to play Judge at the end if they think he signs elsewhere in the offseason?
No.
Obviously, assuming they clinch division, of course.
No. What his future, whether it's in New York or somewhere else, has nothing to do with right now and winning a World Series. That's all there. That's all Cashman and these boys think about is how do we win this World Series? That's it. And how do we get there healthy? Because I still have guys that need to be healthy. How do I get there healthy? That's all they're thinking about. They're going to the postseason. We know that for sure. Yep. Winning the division is so massively important to the Yankees. That's their next goal, which they're close to doing.
You don't like how their pitching sets up in the postseason,
though. I think it's awful. Yeah, they've really gone the wrong way the second half of the season.
What was your comment? Fourth inning on, they're in big trouble?
Well, now it is. Yeah, you see what's happening, right? They don't have, I mean, again, the whole first half of the season, go back. Like, everybody wins seven innings every start and just set the tone for this entire team. For the Holmes or whatever the kid's name is that had 30 scoreless. Like, it was set up to pitch in their bullpen roles perfectly. And then all of a sudden, no one's going seven. They're going 5-4. And these guys are pitching way more. And then they start to get rocked. And they don't know when their name's getting called. It, like, they have to get back to my starters dictate the pace.
So we were going to do this. Kelly and I were going to do this, the first segment of the show. But then, Kelly, is it fair to say we strayed with breakdancing and other subjects?
Look, we had some big-time news we had to discuss in that first segment.
We did.
You know, we're always going to come attack this in a journalistic standpoint, and you got to get to the big news first, Gil.
Yeah,
right?
So, big news in chess, Josh. It's a whole story. I'll tell you off air.
I'm listening.
No. We don't need to repeat it. These are National League Championship Series. We'll get to the American League in a moment. These are exact results, exactas, as we call them in horse racing. These are courtesy of DraftKings. So NLCS, obviously.
7-game series? Yeah.
Yes. NLCS is a 7-game series. Remember, the playoffs again this year start with two byes for the number 1 and 2 division winners. And then the third best record-wise division winner takes on the third wildcard team in a best of three, all at the division winner's ballpark. Number 1 and number 2 wildcard team play each other, all at the number 1 wildcard team's ballpark. But this is advancing past that and the division series into the championship series. And it makes sense that the two Dodgers-Mets outcomes would be the short shots, right? Dodgers to beat the Mets plus 475, Mets to beat the Dodgers plus 550. They're pitching. Both teams sets up very nicely, I would say. And then every other sort of combination you could get here comes after that. Mets beating the Braves at 8-1, Dodgers beating the Cardinals, Braves beating the Mets, the only other ones in single digits. What do you like here? Do you like anything beyond those top ones?
All I know is the Braves won the World Series last year.
Yeah, Braves
beat
Dodgers.
That's what I know, and I'm seeing them at the bottom of the list on a lot of these things.
Braves beat Dodgers 21-1.
If the Dodgers and Mets play, and I've been anti-Mets for years, you guys know that. If the Dodgers and Mets play, the Mets are winning.
Because of the pitching.
Yeah.
So you would take the 550, the plus 550 over the plus 475.
And they'll come back early. Max will come back early, and Jacob will force himself to come back early because he's probably going to opt out. So, yeah, I think in that particular case, I'm taking the Mets over the Dodgers for sure. There's a lot of good ones here, right?
I was going to say, is Dodgers beat Braves and Braves beat Dodgers the two best bets on that board, though?
I think so. The Dodgers, like, look at, like, the Padres, right, when they face them, and I think it's who's pitching today for the Padres. Is it Clevinger? Look how good he kind of has been. And then look at his last three. I got Rock games, and they're all versus the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Like, we just mentally check out because we assume they're really good, and so we start to give credit before just location. And so a lot of pitchers get beat ahead of time when they play the Dodgers, and so Anderson, Tyler, and these boys reap the rewards going 15-3 when they were 7-12 before.
Dodgers already division winners on the cusp of 100 wins. By the way, for those just listening and not watching, Dodgers beat Braves is 17-1. Braves beat Dodgers
20-1. Might be a bad example real quick. Might be a bad example, but they just clinched for the, what, 9th time in 10 years, right? Yeah. So they're going to start resting guys, but their lineup is so loaded. You got Bellinger hitting 9th and stuff. So when you see a rested Dodger lineup, you also see a pretty loaded Dodger lineup. So it's kind of a bad example, but watch what they start to do with their players.
Real quick on the ALCS, exactas as well, available.
Astros and more Astros.
Astros beat Yankees, Yankees beat Astros, plus 370, plus 425. Then every other outcome is double digits.
ALCS. Yeah, so the Astros beat the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees get there, so the Astros are beating somebody else.
Say again, Josh?
I don't think the Yankees get to the ALCS, so I think the Astros are going to beat somebody else in the ALCS.
So Astros beat Guardians is 12-1. Astros beat Blue Jays 28-1. Astros beat Rays 18-1.
It's more like it right there, huh?
You like that, huh? Astros beat Rays 18-1.
Okay. How about Astros over Blue Jays 28-1?
Yeah.
Well, again, just crossed out the first one in my opinion, and then I just get 12-1, 18-1, 28-1. So if I'm right, then we're profitable somewhere, right?
Good on DraftKings for putting these up. I don't know how many other books have these.
I haven't seen these before.
Yeah.
We've seen World Series, obviously. Those are pretty much in every book, but right, I've never seen ALCS and NLCS.
Yeah. I like it because there's in the AL we kind of know what the playoff teams are, with apologies to the Orioles. So you could pretty much get every outcome here.
Yeah, I think that's decided. I mean, yeah. Even if you look at the wild card, where we have Baltimore's 5 back, 6.5 back for Chicago, yeah. I think that that's too much to overcome at this point. So I think yeah. I agree. I think we're set. Seattle's a very dangerous team, by the way.
You said Mark Borchardt said the same thing. So Seattle is the sneaky team.
And they always score in the first inning and set the tone right away for their team.
I don't see any Mariners outcomes up here, so they must be longer.
Orioles beat the Yankees 2000-1. Book it!
But we do have one. Mariners, Yankees beat Mariners 12-1. Mariners beat Yankees 18-1.
And so what's the only other thing? It's St. Louis and Milwaukee.
I got to do this, Josh. Thank you, Josh, by the way. Just a reminder, shopping numbers, absolute key to making money betting sports. For example, judge home runs over 61.5, minus 475 at one shop, minus 320 at another. And keep in mind, he might sit. That's our pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 a day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Enjoy from VSiN.